www.thebrainfarm.com.
At the top of each and every show, we go live with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than Ellen Ratner. Ellen, what's going on in Washington? It's nothing but an episode of scandal after scandal after scandal.
Well, you have three major scandals. The president just came out tonight with something on IRS. He's very upset about it, feels that it went over the line, and wants it thoroughly investigated and dealt with. White House just put out a statement a couple hours ago.
Yeah. So, and with the IRS stuff, it's interesting because this really isn't it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing, because you had headlines in Huffington Post and the headlines in the obvious right fare like Drudge and whatever. So it's kind of being treated that way, isn't it? Or no?
Well, yeah. I mean, the point is that they have not had a cohesive communication scan on any of this, either on the AP reporters being, you know, subpoenaed and taking their phone records, to Benghazi, to the IRS. It's interesting, the White House is most active in responding to IRS, feeling that Benghazi was sort of a tempest in a teapot. But frankly, what they should have done with Benghazi with these quote-unquote talking points is say, look, most of the people in the administration think this is a reaction to a YouTube. There's some that believe that this was terrorism and planned and pre-planned. We're going to find out about it. That's all they needed to say.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I say that all the time on America Tonight. Why not say the truth? You told me this one time. It was probably a year ago you said to me, listen, when they first took office, they said they were going to be transparent, and you said it really hasn't been that way at all, and there's been lots of problems with that.
That's right. Well, actually, you know, we have a saying down in the basement of the White House, that, and I think I've said this to you on the air, that the administration that said they were going to be most ethical was Clinton. Well, look at that. Most nation-building, President Bush, they nation-built. And this one, most transparent.
There you go. What can you do? So, you know, you talk about the AP thing. You mentioned that. How do you feel about that? As someone who's covered the Hill, and this is a journalist, you know, AP, massive amounts of journalists and editors being tapped. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's the most outrageous thing I've ever encountered.
Yeah, I agree.
I really do. And I just, I mean, the White House is sort of shoveling this off to the Justice Department, saying all questions go there. No, this is really beyond the pale, and they better come up with a good answer for it.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see what happens with all of that. Of course, another big news, and I have a lot of people that call me to talk. They work for the Department of Justice, Department of Defense in some form, and they keep wondering about the furloughs. Now we know what the furloughs are going to be. They're talking about less days, not 14, right?
It's not 14, it's 11 days. But, you know, if you add vacation, of which people go on vacation, depending on how long you've been working for the government, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, then you add 11 days, which is essentially another 2 weeks plus a day, then you're talking about a month to 6 weeks that you're not working necessarily with your coworkers. That's a long time.
That is a long time, absolutely. How about this? The deficit's going to hit $642 billion. Are we even counting anymore?
Well, we are counting, because it was $1.1 trillion when the fiscal year ended last October.
Yeah.
So, actually, what's that, about 8 months ago. So actually, it's doing a lot better. And they think a lot of it has to do with the Fannie Mae and all of those mortgages being paid, not having to bail out Fannie and Freddie, as well as tax receipts coming in.
Yeah, so this is the smallest rate since the president took office.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. And this is always interesting to me. A Republican switches parties, becomes a Democrat. What was the reason there?
Well, the reason was, and this took place in Florida, this person, his name was Pablo Pantonia, I believe is how he pronounces his name. He was doing Hispanic outreach for the Republican National Committee. He's now a Democrat. He said there was a culture of intolerance.
Culture of intolerance? Are you kidding me?
Never in any political party.
All right, Ellen, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, coming up the rest of this hour in America tonight, of course, we always have our chat with Stephen Shohet in Hollywood, the author of Hollywood Stories. We'll be talking about Star Trek this time around. What a phenomenon. Who knew Gene Roddenberry, when it all started, that not only would the television series be wildly successful, but people would want to go and watch Star Trek on the big screen. So, in a way, different in all kinds of aspects, I suppose, but in a way, like Star Wars, because people are clamoring for so much, give us what happened before. Give us the backstory, because we can never have enough, and I can never have enough of Chris Pine. He's awesome as the young Captain Kirk, so we'll talk to him about the phenomenon of Star Trek and what that may open as. If you've been paying attention, we do our little movie segments, and of course we have our cheap movie reviews. When we do that Friday heading into the weekend, we look at what we think is going to be really hot at the box office and things that you could really wait on till it comes out in DVD. And Iron Man 3 is just shattering all kinds of numbers. Now there's some competition, I think, with Star Trek. So competition is really what we talked about here opening the show, the competition of which scandal is worse. And if you had to rank these scandals, I was thinking about this today. I was getting on an elevator, and it was probably because we were just going up to three floors. Which scandal, if you were ranking them, would be the worst? And, you know, I tend to think the AP scandal, because finally you have everybody screaming bloody murder about the fact that there's no doubt the Constitution was smashed here, with the First Amendment rights just thrown out the window in going after all the phone records of the AP reporters and editors to try to find out who leaked confidential information. And I think it goes back to not wanting to talk about, you know, not having information get out about plots that were thwarted, and especially when it has to do with an anniversary like this time around. It was Osama bin Laden and the fact that there was a plot to blow up a plane. And that news breaks. That's big news. But I think the Al-Qaeda, Thai, terrorism, all that kind of stuff. Regardless, the Obama administration is saying they're going to get to the bottom of this. But listen, they've been aggressive in going after leaks, whether it's classified information or whatever it is. They've already prosecuted how many? Six different officials, more than anybody has ever in our history, any previous administrations. So Eric Holder recuses himself. He's out of this thing, and it's all about the issue of subpoenas and freedom of the press. I mean, hey, freedom of the press is an essential right in the kind of society that we have, and that's called a free society. You know, what price are we paying now to drink this freedom? We're going to talk more about that on the flip side. Hang loose, everybody. We'll meet you in a few. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show,
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
Can't you see? AP, IRS, and Benghazi. Benghazi we've been talking about for a long time, and we're never going to get the right answers we want. I think Ellen nailed it, and she's saying exactly the same thing that I have been saying the entire time that I've been on this show through this administration. It's just crazy that they don't, why can't they admit to them? It's not owning up to a mistake or not knowing the answer. Like the person, you know, you've got to have someone in your posse like this, right? The guy who always knows the answer, even if he's completely wrong. That's what it's like. So if they didn't know the answer, there's certainly ways they could get around not knowing the answer and say that we have different theories. It just happened. We're distraught over the loss of the ambassador and three other career State Department officials, because in a sense they were, or certainly, if you take the two SEALs who then went in and were part of what was happening in Benghazi, you know, these were dedicated public servant people, we'll say. And definitely the ambassador. The Libyans loved him. And he knew it was risky. There's no doubt they knew it was risky, but they were asking for help. And we know all the details, or we think we know anyway, the details behind Benghazi. But the AP thing has to me, I think, as somebody who went to journalism school and then looking at what we call journalism now and how important the First Amendment is, I always say this, there's a lot of crud you can listen to, and what one person likes, another person hates, and we know that because we live in the land of choice. But we don't want to ever wake up and find ourselves living under state-run radio, newspapers. In other words, media that's controlled. You can hate the media, and you can bash mainstream media and say, oh, it's all slanted. But the bottom line is we do have free-flowing information. So digging in deep, like Rupert Murdoch did in News of the World in England, and how astonishing the lengths they went to get stories, and the fact that they were tapping people. But now you're talking about the reversal, tapping into the media. And it's not right. But I think what will happen is they'll stand behind leaks of sensitive information and say that it puts all of us at risk, and they'll get away with it, and that'll be it. The Deputy Attorney General, James Cole, is directing the FBI investigation, and he's standing behind what happened. You know, they seized phone records, in case you missed the story, of 20 AP reporters and editors. They were trying to find out that confidential information. They wanted to know who put that information out there, and you can bet that they get the boot for sure. So what does the AP have to say about all this? So very little, releasing a few statements. Just the AP president, Gary Pruitt, calling out the Justice Department, saying that rather than talk to us in advance, they grabbed the phone records in secret, instead saying that notifying us would compromise their investigation. They say the secrecy is important for national security. It's always difficult to respond to that, particularly since they still haven't told us specifically what they're investigating. There's just theories out there, and it's that because there were so many people that were upset at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue over the information that came out about the plane being, that plot being foiled before it happened, kind of near the anniversary of the one-year anniversary of Osama bin Laden. Imagine how tragic that would be. There's the theory is floating that that's what it is. It's not necessarily all it is, but part of the reason is, too, because all of the reporters, for the most part, and the editors working on that story, it was all their records, and it's their home, office, cell, all that kind of stuff. It was all pulled. Washington, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, the main number for the AP reporters covering Congress, all of that. I mean, I'll say it again. You don't have a free society unless you have free flowing information, so freedom of the press is absolutely essential. I mean, absolutely essential. We demand it. We want it in this country, absolutely. Otherwise, we give that up, we might as well toss everything all in. We might as well just go all the way. So, aggressively going after the leaks, but doing things like what they did with AP is astonishing. I can't wait to hear the whole story. You know, it's Paul Harvey who used to say, and here's the rest of the story. I want to know the rest of the story. And it's tight as a drum. I have definitely culled every source that I can. And really what's out there is all that's out there. It's pretty locked up now. But I believe that once this goes through an exhaustive, I am certain of it, investigation, we'll know a few more of the steps in between. And there's going to be somebody whose head's going to roll over this, you know, without a doubt. I mean, you can't have undue influence on the media. And, of course, Jay Carney really was able to wiggle out of this, saying that, you know, he can't specifically comment on an ongoing criminal investigation. If you go to americatonight.net, I think one of the very telling photos of Carney, I posted up there and said, you know, answers, we want answers. Can somebody give us some answers? Because he was barraged with hundreds, literally hundreds, of questions, and because you've got the Benghazi stuff, you have the pressure being put on Boehner, the House Speaker, to appoint a select committee on Benghazi. You have the stuff that's fresh with the IRS and the investigation of the IRS as far as going after any groups with Tea Party in them and that kind of stuff, and that's very much unresolved. That's why that comes right before Benghazi, because we're already in the middle of this Benghazi stuff and whether it lands anywhere or not. But the scandal over this is absolutely fresh. There's tracks that we can still trace, and it's been now years for some of these groups who have applied for it. I mean, hey, you don't like what the Supreme Court decided in Citizens United. Oh, well. because it benefits both sides, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans who are running in whatever race they're running in. But to allow a lower level IRS employee, in fact employees, because it had to be a bunch of them, to single out the Tea Party and other conservative groups that were looking for some tax exempt status, and go, making them go through this incredibly long, arduous review, an extra review, was just stupid, because they think that was not going to get out. I mean, look, the acting Deputy Inspector General, Michael McKenney, was pretty clear in this cover letter that was sent out, that was with the attached to the document, saying, "We don't consider the concern in this report to be resolved." Really? Well, nobody else does either. Even the president knows he had to weigh in on this and said it was intolerable and inexcusable, and that he's ordering the Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, to make sure that each of the Inspector General's recommendations are implemented pretty quickly. So just to review here, imagine this, Tea Party Patriots 912 Project, all referenced in the case file, and then the audit found that in June of 2011, the Cincinnati office distributed and expanded, and this is what it said, beyond the lookout list of criteria for identifying potential political cases. So they called it the BOLO list, beyond the lookout, get it? The BOLO list identified the four reasons for officers who were going through it, vetting it out, to give an application special attention. One, the very first thing, was what I just mentioned. Others were issues that included government spending, government debt or taxes, education of the public by lobbying to make America a better place to live. That's one thing they would look for. Statements in the file criticizing how the country's being run. So they were absolutely digging and hunting for this kind of treasure so that they could, you know, deny or make it longer the 501c4 tax exempt status. And there, of course, were a ton of them. I am certain of it. But the outrage continues to grow on this one. So if you were ranking them, how would it go for you? As I said, for me, it's AP, IRS, and Benghazi. Stay with us. Stephen Shohet on the flip side.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo.
Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at DoomsdayExpo.com. DoomsdayExpo.com. Preparation starts here.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators, freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I like to see you go right across the floor. I like to do it to your telephone call.
That was a little snippet of Star Trek, the newest movie, Star Trek Into the Darkness. It must be movie time. And our pal in Hollywood, Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can also get it on tape. When you're stuck in traffic, you can listen. How cool is that? Steve, how was your week, Mr. Stephen?
Hey, great, Kate. How's yours?
Good, thank you, and I can't wait till the weekend. I have to say, I was never really huge as a kid into Star Trek, but I really like these movies, and this one looks pretty good to me. What do you think?
I'm really excited about it. I'm trying not to find out spoilers and research it at the same time. So it's like a tightrope here. But I think the interesting thing is J.J. Abrams, not really a Star Trek fan either. He worked with three or four different people on the movie, the executive producer, the writers, and some of them loved Star Trek and some of them didn't. And so they tried to make a movie back in 2009 that pleased all of them and sort of have a Star Wars sensibility as far as pace, a pace like The Empire Strikes Back. And Chris Pine, for example, tried not to base his character on William Shatner, but rather the Tom Cruise character Maverick, Top Gun, and a little bit of Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones thrown in. So it definitely was respectful to the old Star Trek of canon, but at the same time, a new approach, less cerebral, more action filled.
Yeah, there's just something about it, like I said, and on the big screen it plays so well. You think Star Trek gives Iron Man a run for its money?
Oh yeah, the first week I think it beats it, and the interesting thing, Star Trek for whatever reason never has done well overseas, but this one's opening up very well internationally. So I think I don't know what the totals are going to be. It's going to be very, very, very interesting to see how that goes. If I have to pick, I guess I'll pick, because Iron Man's coming off the Avengers, I'll have to pick Iron Man as the total winner. But I'm a bigger Star Trek fan than I am an Iron Man fan, so it's definitely more anticipation for this movie.
Yeah. Do you think when the series was started, I mean, you and I have talked about the background, it's fascinating, the whole Desilu Productions thing and all that back in the 60s, but any idea that it was going to be this big? And, I mean, what a lifespan for Star Trek, eh?
No. I mean, you got the first day of work, Leonard Nimoy had lunch with DeForest Kelly. And they had worked together once on a Western years back, and Leonard Nimoy said, I'm so worried about these ears. I look ridiculous. I look like a rabbit. And DeForest Kelly saw there was a carrot on the table and picked it up and handed it to him. And Leonard Nimoy said, don't ever do that again. He couldn't even laugh. He was really sensitive about it. And so they just couldn't have seen it at all, especially with the struggling ratings. I mean, the final day of the series was kind of symbolic with William Shatner had the flu and he didn't want to be somber on the last day that they were filming. So he tried to crack jokes the whole time and actually ended up collapsing and falling over near the end of the day. And as far as anybody knew, that was the end of the show. I think just everybody was startled that the fan phenomenon kept growing and growing and growing and refused to let it die.
Yeah. Who do you like better, since you're such a fan? Do you like Captain Kirk better, or are you a fan of Spock's?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. By the way, before I answer, let me just say, it was an interesting thing. I was asked a question the other day, who's richer, William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy? And I really didn't know. And, I did the Forbes check, and Leonard Nimoy's estimated fortune is $45 billion, and William Shatner's $300 million.
You're so kidding.
I just thought that was very, very, very interesting, because there was a time I know that Nimoy was quite rich and Shatner was broke. After the 3 years of the show, and he got he was divorced. But that's a tough one. Probably Spock, but they're kind of important together. In fact, to me, one of the most interesting things Leonard Nimoy said was that when he was first doing Spock, and Jeffrey Hunter was the captain, Captain Pike, in the original pilot, The Cage, he was sort of overdoing it a bit because he had theatrical training and was used to doing big, big characters. And the director told him, tone it down. You're a scientist. You're supposed to be detached. And he said that he felt that if he did that with Jeffrey Hunter, then the scenes would die, because Jeffrey Hunter was a low-key actor, and there'd be no emotion in the scene whatsoever. And then when Jeffrey Hunter refused to come back, although that's a disputed story, whether he was fired or refused to come back, and he was faced by William Shatner with all sorts of theater training and, had played Henry V, Shatner was such a ball of fire that Leonard Nimoy felt that he could tone down the character of Mr. Spock and get him to the place where he needed to be, a man who suppresses his emotions. And that works so well with Shatner. And Shatner's performance allowed thought to come through. So I think in a way, you know, they're almost kind of dependent on each other to give you the performances. So whether you prefer one or another, I think it's a team. And J.J. Abrams, I think what he's done since they met, you know, for the first time, because they were never antagonists on the show. But J.J. Abrams had sort of an antagonism going on, and they apparently, the new people, based it on the relationship between John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, you know, going back and looking at, because I've dug into this, especially after speaking with you so much and looking into the background of Gene Roddenberry and all that kind of stuff, and you know, it's not a shocker that he created this, right? Because he was a big fan of science fiction, so it seemed natural that he would create something that who knew would take off, like we said at the beginning, as big as it is. But this was his baby. He really loved, lived, and breathed this, didn't he?
Yeah, but when you look at what happened before, when he had the show The Lieutenant and the military show, and then, you know, he felt that he was getting blowback if he covered certain racy subjects, when he had the idea of going back in time and having sort of a wagon train show where different people of different races would get together, and a friend of him supposedly scoffed at that idea and said that wouldn't happen for 300 years. You know, there had to be the precedence of things that maybe didn't work for Roddenberry, but in order to create Star Trek, where you have this Federation, which is a fictional thing, and then you can talk about these subjects like war or racism and not get any blowback. Now, you know, again, the people have disputed that. There was a man named Herbert Solow, who was one of the producers of Star Trek, who said that NBC wanted to do, you know, promote the culturalism and promote, you know, having different races on the show, and that didn't come from Roddenberry at all. So you know, I mean, there are definitely different stories about it. But the thing, you know, there were a lot of interesting decisions made. Like, originally, Spock was going to be a Martian. And then Roddenberry thought, well, wait a minute, what if we land on Mars in the next couple of years and there's no Martians? I'll look ridiculous. And so he said, better make it a fictional planet, better make him a Vulcan. And the other thing he did that was a little bit Machiavellian at the time was that he created lyrics for the Star Trek theme song. So he'd get paid half the royalties of the song, which was upsetting to Alexander Courage, because Roddenberry was non-compromising about the show, and when Lucille Ball decided to produce it, I mean, there was a realization they were going to lose at least $65,000 every episode, and Roddenberry wouldn't back down on you know, his concepts, but at the same time, he wanted to make money too, even though he was doing the show about a future where money didn't exist. So, you know, there were a lot of things that went on, and a lot of things that were the fans deciding maybe the creative direction that were totally out of control of the filmmakers.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff. I can't wait to see it. Are you going this weekend?
Yeah, IMAX 3D.
I already got the tickets. You geek. You already got the tickets. That's crazy. I love that.
Row H, the eighth row. So, universe wide theater.
All right. Yeah, cool. Good for you. That'll be fun. All right. We'll have to get a little cheap review from you then next week, heading into next week. Be fun.
You got it.
All right. Stephen Shohead, pick up his book, Hollywood Stories. Go to HollywoodStories.com. It links to everything. We'll talk to you again next week, Stephen. Right now, we are on the Starship Enterprise, and we are off into the next galaxy.
springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words: disaster stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words: DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Coaster. It would be the Jetstar roller coaster. It just happened on Tuesday, Seaside Heights, New Jersey, almost 7 months after it fell into the ocean during Sandy. You remember, everybody saw the pictures of it. I had a crazy cousin that said, man, I think they should just keep it out there and just do tours. Like what, boat tours on the backside of it? You can swim. You can swim to the part of the coaster you can see. That's ridiculous. But it was sad because it was such a brutal reminder of that storm. And, of course, it had to be cleared out. And they had a giant crane that moved the roller coaster, you know, went and demolished it. And it was very strange to see because it was this oddity with it sticking out of the water and had been there, as I said, for 7 months. That's a long time. Do you believe it's been 7 months since Sandy? Whew. Unbelievable. There were a lot of people that lined up at the Jersey Shore to watch this roller coaster get get hacked down. So will they rebuild it, fix the pier? You know, all that's, of course, up in the air. They're still rebuilding so much of that shoreline. I'll let you know because I'll be at the shore during the summer for a week, and I'll get tours of all that area. I know even Ocean City and Atlantic City, there are still remnants of Sandy. Let's put it that way. You know, I found out that roller coaster wise in the U.S. there are 2,753 roller coasters. Well, I guess that's in the that's in the world. In the world, that's how many there are. And U.S. there's the majority of them are in the U.S. And I was thinking about there are people who love roller coasters, who are just addicted to roller coasters, and that's what they do. They travel around to get the bigger thrills. What's the newest, the biggest, the baddest? The way they do roller coasters now, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know how people don't lose their lunch. I mean, you know, wooden roller coasters, that whole rickety sound, like when it goes down, it has a deep valley, and then it comes back up again. That's kind of the old-fashioned roller coasters, the kind that I really, really liked. But now the way they are and how they jerk your head around, man, when you get off of some of these things, you feel like your head is just pounding. I mean, pounding. I remember when I went to school in Ohio, roller coaster-wise, Cedar Point Amusement Park, how many people from Ohio or spent some time in Ohio, they had a crazy amount, 17 roller coasters, 17. And people always talked about how amazing the roller coasters were at this amusement park. And I went there. It was pretty cool. I would hear them talk about it forever and ever and ever. And finally, I went, and I have to say it was impressive. And there were a lot of people that specifically went there just to ride on the roller coasters. But, you know, I saw a statistic somewhere about how many people die from roller coaster rides. How many people get whiplashed, and what happens if they fly out of the harness or that kind of stuff? And sometimes that's what happens, or they have some kind of a mechanical, you know, error or whatever. But the amount of people who die on a roller coaster is relatively low, I have to tell you. It's relatively low. Of course, if you're the one person involved in the park accident, it's not going to be good. Remember they had the Matterhorn thing that happened at Disneyland, and it was just a kid stood up, and then, of course, he fell, and he was fatally injured after that. There was the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad accident at Disneyland, and that was mechanical failure, and that's pretty scary, I think, because that's not on you, that's on them. And they shut everything down, and I can remember riding on that, and it was freaky when that happened, the story of how the kid, the tragedy of that, what happened there. But anyway, wonder if there are any roller coaster riders. Matt, you're not a roller coaster guy, are you?
Not anti-roller coaster, but I don't go on a ton of them, I guess, just because I don't really attend theme parks all that much. There's a place here called Valley Fair. It's pretty much like a Six Flags, but I couldn't tell you the last time I was there. And then there's also, well, what is it called now? It used to be Camp Snoopy in Mall of America, and then it was Nickelodeon something, and I have no idea what it is called now. But those are like the theme parks around here, and I think the last time I was on a roller coaster was actually at the theme park in Mall of America with a couple of little cousins of mine, and that was probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. I think now it's more about the loops and you're upside down, and it's quick, but you really fly on the roller coasters now.
Yeah, I guess so. And when I'm going out, I'm more into the eating and drinking thing, so the the upside down on the loops doesn't mix in well.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't mix in well for me either. I know that my nephew, he seems to be, whenever he's around me, and at the times that we've been at one of these places, whether it's Universal or wherever, his father will say to him, well, who do you want to go with you? And he always says, Aunt Kate. And I'll be like, why? Why are you picking me? I think he knows that I turn blue because I'm like, Matt, I'm there for the entertainment and the relaxation, not to have my head jerked around. And you wonder at what point, because, you know, it's always about bigger, badder, faster, all that kind of stuff. you wonder at what point do you say enough is enough? Okay, if we're trying to one up each other, where do we stop with how many loops we're doing, how many G's we're pulling? But every time I read something about a new coaster, that's what it is. The design might be clever and creative, but it's also about how many times they can whip you around or have a straight drop. And the straight drop to me is, oh, that feeling. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's when you get older, if it's that whole vertigo and heights and quick drops and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's that, or I was never a huge fan of roller coasters to begin with. They're okay. I didn't dislike them, hate them, but it wasn't what I wasn't seeking out a roller coaster. Then, of course, many of you can relate to this, where you go to these amusement parks and they have the ride where it just drops. It's like whether you're in a shoulder thing and you're going up, up, up really, really slow, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's like they just dropped you from the top of a building. Oh, that is crazy. And unfortunately, I have been dragged on down to a couple of those in a couple of different places. Always with the nephew. As you're having a conversation, boom, that's it, and then you're down just like that. Some people don't like the side-to-side thing, and they don't mind the drop, but they don't like the where you kind of, it's kind of like a boat, and it almost simulates seasickness. You know what I'm talking about, those big wooden boats that go back and forth, and they go super, super high. All right, we started the hour talking about the three blunders that really are being pinned on this administration, and should be, because there's some failed government happening big time that has been costly with lives, costly in the arena of public opinion, I think, especially when you have no boundaries when it comes to the AP going after the Associated Press, trying to find out where they got a story, really trying to plug a leak. And then the whole IRS thing is just ridiculous, too. Even the president, he said it, he can't distance himself from this. It's inexcusable. And to have somebody who's sitting there being told, okay, here's the things to look for, they had to know that if this is what you're doing, if there's a reason behind this, what's the reason you're going to throw out of this? Yes, you can go through the applications, and of course, whenever you're looking at tax-exempt, you would imagine that there is paperwork, there are things that you have to do. But then you look at the organizations that have been granted tax-exempt status, and it just doesn't wash. Just doesn't wash. So then you have to ask yourself, who's zooming who, and you know, who's really out for all of us in America? They're just continually, I think, hiding the truth from us. Very sad, sad commentary.
My name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.